Come, spellweavers, reavers, rogues, and men-at-arms, and answer the call of adventure. Pick up your sword, your axe, your spellbook, your bow, your rulebook, and your dice, and join the forces of good in their eternal fight against vile monsters, conspiring min-maxers, horny bards, and blood-soaked murder hobos. Discover the treasure trove of role-playing games here on Rollin' Bones. My name is Ryan Howard, and I shall be your guide. Good evening, boneheads, and welcome back to Rollin' Bones
Come
with Ryan Howard.
Reavers, reavers, where rogues and men.
All right, that's weird. That bodes well. Let's turn that off for future reference. They changed the way that StreamYard is laid out, so that's why my music just looped on me. Anyway, welcome to Rollin' Bones, where we are making old school young again. I'm your host and king of the boneheads, Ryan Howard. I am on my probationary period for the Bro SR, I suppose. We haven't done the ritual yet. But this is Rollin' Bones, and tonight we are going to be talking about stuff I don't want to talk about, but it involves some very good friends of mine, and you know, we're here to put this to bed. We're going to bury it tonight, and I can think of no better guys to have on this show to bury this nonsense than Victor Gorchev and the Basic Expert, two of the greatest guys in gaming right now. Before we get into that, I want to remind everyone to like, share, and subscribe. Hit that bell icon if you want notifications when Rollin' Bones is live. And I want to remind everyone that you can find me on the following social media, Twitter and Instagram. I am at Howard_RyanGregg. On YouTube, we are Rollin' Bones. Twitch is twitch.tv/RollinBonesRyan, and the newest one is Substack, RollinBones.substack.com. I'll go ahead and bring this one up for you guys so that you can see what we've got going on over on Substack. I just recently did an article on the Old West Bronstein. This is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, how to do kind of faction play and the grand campaign in an Old West setting. So if that interests you at all, you can find that over on Substack. Also, I do want to remind everyone that I have the TeePublic store. I'm going to go ahead and drop the link here in chat for everyone. And tonight we have a brand new design that I am debuting right here on Rollin' Bones in honor of my guests tonight. This phrase comes courtesy of one Crossface. But we now have officially on the Rollin' Bones Bonehead Emporium the I Just Want to Grill and Game shirt. I'm very proud of this logo. I'm very happy with the way it turned out. We have a light logo on a dark shirt and a dark logo on a light shirt for anyone who wants options there. That's available over on TeePublic. The link is here in chat, and you will find the link down in the pinned comment on YouTube. Also dropping a link here in chat to my Substack because I forgot to do that earlier. Anyway, that's enough of my nonsense. Let's go ahead and get to the main event. Ladies and gentlemen, you know these guys. You love them. You can follow them here on Twitter. And just in case anyone has stumbled in here without knowing who we are talking to tonight, I will introduce the Netherlands' number one sex symbol, the creator of the Modern Adventurer's Guide to Gear and Guns and Modern Necessities, ladies and gentlemen, Victor Gorchev.
Oi, what is up?
Oh, not much. And you know him, you love him. He is your favorite RPG YouTuber. He is fantastic. He is the creator of Cowpunchers and Atomic Punk. He is the Antonio Banderas of role-playing games. Ladies and gentlemen, the Basic Expert.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Yeah. Está bien, ¿y tú?
Also, you respond in his native language, not mine. Okay, I see what it is.
They didn't teach your native language in my high school.
Oh, okay. Well, they should.
Maybe they should.
Found your country.
Absolutely. Maybe if you shared a border with us.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, thank you for coming on the show. There's a lot to talk about here. And unfortunately, I feel like I'm partially to blame for this because, John, I don't know if you remember, but the very end of last year, when I had you on to talk about Star Wars, we ended our conversation by talking about what the most brain-dead Twitter discourse of 2022 was in the role-playing game sphere. And it took about 1 month for about five things to just pile on top of whatever the dumbest thing was. I don't even remember what we were talking about on RPG Twitter in 2022. But you guys were kind of all in and around it, really through no fault of your own. So what happened?
I don't know, man. I mean, I'll just come out and say it. I think often the hobby is like crabs in the bucket sometimes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, not that I don't want to be overtly negative or anything like that, but you know, that's just the perception that I have, that, you start growing a little too fast or doing a little too well. And some people don't like it. So they come after you. So
yeah. That seems about right. Also just a lot of King Nerd syndrome, I think.
Yeah. You know, you have the space here. It's like any subculture, and there's people that have made a name for themselves in it, and they're very proud of the name that they've made for themselves in it. And sometimes when that culture starts to expand and bring in new people, and other people start to grow in it too, you know, it can be threatening and scary for people too. And I think that's been part of it as well. So, you know.
Yeah, but it's almost like, where do we start with this? We've all kind of made jokes about where all the nonsense began. I've got it pulled up now. I'll go ahead and share this this meme that John posted on his Twitter. God, this was this was back in June. This was a month ago. So. For anyone who doesn't know, this is an artistic rendering of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, the beginning of World War I. And really, I do think reaction roles and the whole conversation around whether or not to use reaction roles was the catalyst. But as I said in my tweet response to this, Vic, your conversation about the first level fighter being a veteran was the Balkan crisis of 1913.
Yeah, pretty much. That for me was like the very first, like the big drama that involved me personally, with people coming after me and like starting shit, basically. And I don't know, it was very aggravating because I still believe I was right.
It's in the book. It's literally in the book.
Yeah, and in multiple ways too. Not just like in the title. It's like you can infer it from all these rules that are in the book. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
and people just disagreed, and they came after me.
But yeah, this first thing, this reaction role drama that really kind of kicked up dust. I think this really kind of shines a light on one aspect, maybe even the most annoying aspect of the drama that comes up in RPG Twitter. And that's people who can't just say, all right, if that's how you want to play the game, that's fine. People who constantly have to push their style of play on other people who are otherwise uninterested, especially when they're wrong about how to play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be a little more vitriolic about how to play the game and how I want, but like now I realize at a point, like, I don't care. Like, whatever you do at your table, like, I will tell you if I think it's inefficient or ineffective or less than, in my opinion. I will tell you if you ask me, or if you ask my opinion on it, like, I will say, I think what you're doing could be better. And I think, and then I'll preface it by saying, I think what I'm doing could be better too. And I think we could all be improving at our game, but, I just don't care as much anymore, but it's crazy. Cause like, you'll just sit and talk about like why you like to run your games the way you like to run them. Like I could right now go make a tweet saying, you know, I really like Descending AC, and I guarantee you, I'm going to get in an argument with someone about Descending AC. But just saying, not really being confrontational or anything, but just saying, hey, I think dissenting AC is really cool. And you're going to have people that are going to start painting you as, you know, a bad guy from WW2 or something of that nature for that opinion on games. And it's absolute insanity.
One of the painting enthusiast, if you will.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that changed, like, it used to be like us versus, like, you know, the progressive, like, 5e players, like the Critical Role people, like all that stuff. So, you know, there was like a lot of vitriol back and forth. So, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, like you said, John, you know, you were a bit more vitriolic back in the day. But then all of a sudden the battle line shifted and all the attacks started coming from our own sides.
Supposedly our own side.
Well, yeah. Supposedly, yes. You're right. Yeah. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I haven't been in an argument with like some like progressive, like, you know, like D&D is colonialist like type player in like, I don't know, like a year.
Yeah.
All the fights that I've been in have been like OSR people, like people that have bought my books, like, I don't know. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, something that's funny about this, right at the beginning of the year, I had, and you guys just talked to him on your show, Alexander McCreese, the legend, the man, the myth. And he and I, we were talking about this offline, but he said, I really wish you guys wouldn't beef with the Bro SR. This was back when the people kind of in your Gilded server and myself and Crafty and, you know, all of us, we kind of had some friction with the camp and the, you know, Bro SR side of the playground. And McCreese told me, he's like, I wish you guys wouldn't go at each other, because I think all of us need to kind of come together on this side and basically just oppose the status quo, the monolith right now of RPGs, which is WotC. Because this was, you know, right smack in the middle of, you know, just all the OGL nonsense, all the Pinkerton nonsense was still going on. And he's just like, look, we just need to stop fighting with each other and focus on pushing them back and making our stuff as good as it possibly can be. And I went, you know what? You're right. I need to stop yelling at people. We need to find a way to kind of coexist here. And no sooner did he and I have this conversation than Crossface gets in good with the Bro SR. They start kind of backing down from some of their aggression towards some of us. They start actually talking to us, reaching out to us, having good conversations with us.
Yeah.
But then it started coming from a different side. And there were really two people who drove the nonsense once we kind of got through reaction gate. And that's the only time you're going to hear me use the gate suffix, by the way. Once we got through that, there were two people really driving the nonsense. And we'll start with the first one to give Vic a little time to talk about here. Ryan David from Nerd Cognito. I've never mentioned him on the show. I will never mention him again after tonight. But he really, for some reason, got a bug up his butt about Crossface and then by extension, Vic. So Vic, from your perspective, how did that, what happened?
Well, he just randomly announced in one of the group chats that we were in that he like, he was going to go after somebody who was like teaching 5e to kids. And Greg remembers this. Me, some others were like, do you mean Crossface? And he's like, no, I don't mean Crossface, but he fits the bill. And then like some weeks went past, maybe like a month or so. And then he started like slowly ramping up his attacks on Crossface. He started like sending him like kind of like assholish tweets and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, he did that outright attack where everyone basically like told him like, no, you're wrong and you're out of line. And that's when John got involved and all that stuff. And even at that point, I was trying to stay neutral. I was trying to stay Switzerland. I didn't say shit on Twitter. I didn't even really say anything in that group chat. He did say some things to me, and I was like, well, I agree with them, so sorry. And I don't know, it just kept escalating from there. He just kept he just kept saying stuff. And then when people started responding to him, he like, I'll just fucking say it. I don't care. I don't like him, so I'm not never going to be friends with him again. If he gets mad at me for saying this, I don't care. He started playing the victim. He started doing all those Nerdcognito podcasts, like, you know, where he was like basically talking all about all of us, about the Gilded server, about all that stuff, but you know, without naming names, but it was very obvious. And basically just playing the victim, like acting like we started it, acting like we came out of after him out of nowhere. And he did that for like, I don't know, like what, three weeks straight, a month straight. He went on, Big Geek Emporium stream at one point.
Biggest Geekus.
Biggest Geekus. He went on there to basically do the same thing, which really made me mad. He had them on the week after, at least Wendy, I think. And he did the same thing on Nerdcognito again. And I don't know. And like every time he's just like playing the victim, even though he's the culprit. He's the one that started it all. He's the one that started the attacks. And then when people responded, he's like, oh, well, what was his catchphrase?
Sparkle troll?
No. He had like this thing that he said is like something but not contempt. It was like, you remember, John? He was basically saying like, oh, well, it was just like criticism. I don't hate you guys. Like, why are you after me? It was just criticism. And it's like, criticism is constructive. You were being an asshole. You were outright attacking people and saying some pretty mean things about them. He called Crossface basically a groomer. That's basically what happened. And then eventually some stuff started on Twitter again, and I had enough of it, and I spoke up publicly. And instead of engaging me seriously, he just started sending me like shitty like gifts, like, you know, a 19-year-old like woke chick.
Yeah.
And I just lost my cool, and I said, well, screw you. And I blocked him, and then I left the Weekend Geek because I could not stand to be around him anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's the thing that got me about the whole Ryan David nonsense was, one, the crime that he was trying to accuse Crossface of was, and get this, teaching kids how to play role-playing games.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And there's no better guy to do it than Crossface. Mr. Read the rules and understand the rules before. Like, Crossface is the best guy to teach kids how to play role-playing games. He really knows his stuff.
Well, he started suddenly putting himself forth as like this protector of the OSR. He started calling people like FOSR, so basically like started calling them posers and stuff. Meanwhile, he doesn't have any pedigree in the OSR himself. Like, he doesn't play OSR games as far as I know. He's like a 4th edition. No, he's a 13th age guy, right? Yeah, which is basically 4th edition. he claims that he plays Greg's game there, but we don't really believe it. But like, he doesn't have any pedigree in the OSR himself. So it's like, yeah, like, okay, like if this was like some like long-standing OSR creator that were coming after us, like we would still like be pissed, but at least, you know, at least there's something there. But like, no, you're a nobody. You're a nobody with a podcast that barely anyone listens to.
Yeah.
So like, who the hell are you to like tell us that we're posers just because we do stuff that you don't like?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah, I'm getting heated again now, so I probably shouldn't. But yeah.
Greg from Dueling Dragon Adventures brings up that he was saying people in the OSR making 5e books were SJW groomers. And this is like more than half of the OSR makes content for 5e because 5e is still the game that everyone plays. Not so much anymore and not so much moving forward, I think, but for the longest time, you had to do that. Like Frog God Games, it's about as OSR as you can get. Necromancer Games, even more OSR than Frog God. Mm-hmm. They make 5e stuff.
Yeah.
Levi Combs makes 5e stuff. Vic, you make 5e stuff. Greg makes 5e stuff. You have to play in those waters in order to actually make some money in this business. You have to deal with that a little bit.
Yeah.
And Malachi makes a good point here. Hankrin as well makes stuff for 5e, makes stuff to, you know, make 5e palatable in a lot of cases. That's not, it's not fair. It's not cool. It's really like it's an abuse of a term that should mean something. We can't just throw that term around.
Yeah.
And again, like, why are you going after these people? It's a question of tactics. It's also a question of character, but like, what's the end game here, Ryan David, going after all these people? What do you hope to accomplish?
I think
to get everyone. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, John.
I'll say, I think his thing is just being this is the danger. And this is something I've learned in dealing with people in this hobby is like, I'm not woke, but I've tried to really scale my channel back from being this political thing. Cause I want anyone to watch my stuff and I want anyone to enjoy the things that I make and talk about. You know, even if we disagree politically, like we should be able to come together on the hobby, you know, and it should be a unifying thing.
Yeah.
But for him and people like him, you know, Vic has pointed out him and people like him want to be like the Quartering, right? Where like, yeah. Oh, here's another little thing to be outraged about. You know, you scroll through his Twitter feed on both Nerd Cognito and his personal one. Well, I haven't recently because I blocked him, but you know, you listen to his podcast, which I haven't in a long time, but it's just nothing but complaining and no real solutions being offered, right? But as we've talked about, like 5e starting to dwindle down, as you said, Vic, like you haven't had an argument with some like rainbow haired pronoun and bio weirdo in a really long time. And it, you know, it seems like things in the hobby are kind of starting to settle down, in my opinion, at least from my perspective. Like there's still the crazy people out there that believe crazy things, but it doesn't seem as crazy as it was like a year ago.
Yeah.
And so targets are diminishing, and with diminishing targets becomes diminishing sources of content if that is what you make all of your content on.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happened. So, you know, you run out of targets that are these quote unquote sparkle trolls. I don't really like that term anymore, but you run out of those targets and it's like, well, who do I attack now? Well, oh, look at this guy over here, Crossface. Like he claims to be OSR and he's over here teaching 5e to kids. Like attack him, you know? So, and he's my friend. So it's like, I don't think that's fair. He's one of the most old school in spirit and playing game guys that I know.
Yeah.
And so that's just not fair to go after him and to call him a you know, grooming kids. Yeah. That's just a step too far. But I think that's what it is. I think it's this idea of not building content around the love of the game, the love of the hobby, but out of anger at those people over there. And, you know, that's a short-lived career, in my opinion. And it's gonna be doomed to fail.
Yeah, you can't build a brand off of negativity. You have to actually bring something to the table. But if you continuously harp on, I'm against this, I'm against this, I'm against this, the natural question is, well, then what are you for? And when a lot of these guys who've kind of built up these brands, I mean, you see it in, you know, the fandom menace. Some of them are actually creating stuff, but then you see a lot of them where people are just, you know, it becomes this thing of, okay, you know, Nerdrotic, what are you for? What do you want? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people like that just kind of go silent at that point. They're just like, well, not that. And then just keep going after what they're going after. So those of us who actually want to push something new forward or some kind of evolution in gaming, and I'll go ahead and mention him because he's here. People like Jeffro who have this idea of where they want gaming to go or what they want to see in games. This is more valuable than people just complaining about the stuff that we all know is cringe. Mm-hmm.
I just wish he was honest about what he was doing. If you're going to be an asshole, at least be honest about being an asshole and be honest what you're doing.
Yeah.
But he did all this stuff. He called Crossface a groomer. He invented this hashtag to basically call people posers. He did all this stuff. And then when people got mad at him, he's like, huh? What? Why is everyone mad at me? I'm just like an innocent... I'm just giving critique. Like, you know, why is everyone mad at me? Oh, it must be that evil gilded cult. The basic experts are gilded cult where they scheme and plot to take over the OSR and, like, you know, do all this shit that he was claiming. I don't know. But like, no, you're just an asshole. Like, and at least admit it. At least if he had comments, if he had been like, hey guys, I was an asshole. I shouldn't have done that. So we'd all be cool by now. But yeah, no.
And then, and this is the one that really makes me mad. I mean, the Ryan David stuff definitely made me mad, but this is what kind of made me want to get involved. You guys decided on Natural Ones that you were going to host Jeffro Johnson, the godfather of the Bro SR, yep, and have a conversation with him. You put it out way in advance so people knew what was going to happen. And immediately our second character, our second man of ill repute, decided that he was going to once again run his chicken lips. And this is the RPG pundit. This is someone I don't talk about on here. And again, after tonight, I will never mention his name again. I have had some animosity for him for a while. A lot of people I know have. But for some reason, when you guys decided to talk to Jeffro on your show, he thought that he would concern troll you about quote-unquote anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a good week. I had a lot of fun that week.
Yeah, it was great.
I loved having my phone notifications explode for about a week and some change. It was a lot. It was great. It was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. That was crazy. And you know, I run a gaming channel, and it's like I haven't touched on the culture war stuff on my channel in a very long time. In a very, very long time, because I've realized I didn't want to be like someone that was just there to farm outrage. That's just not me personally. And I had more, I felt like, interesting things to say about the hobby and about how to play games than just like, oh, look at those 5e kids over there being like degenerates. You know, that gets old and people get sick of that. And I wanted to talk about interesting things, and I wanted to talk to interesting people. You know, like we had McCreese on last night, and we've had other people on, and we've talked about interesting subjects on it. And Jeffro is definitely a controversial person. I don't think he'll even deny that, but he has interesting, and him and the bros are, and the other bros have interesting ideas on how to run games, you know, rooted in the 1970s, which I find as I kind of view myself, because I love old games and I love this hobby, is like a gaming archaeologist. So, you know, when I see people that are like-minded of that sort of thing, like, even if I've beefed with them in the past, we can let that be water under the bridge and talk about the game. Like, I'm all about that. Come on my show and let's talk about it. I got lots of messages of concern from Pundit and his sycophants to call out Jeffro's tweets in the past, a whole two tweets. And I was just like, no, that has nothing to do with D&D. Like, I'm not interested in that at all. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, the rest was history from there. It led to a week long, like, just insanity. It was just crazy.
Yeah. And John definitely got the brunt of that, at least from the Pundit side. Pundit pretty much left me alone directly because I'm just the co-host. Nobody cares about me. But I got involved when all these like strange, like no follower accounts, one in particular, started like posting about me and started claiming that I left the Weekend Geek because some of the members are Jewish, which I wasn't even aware of, but whatever. And then it looked like you know, the previous subject. It looked like he was running with that accusation, and he basically inserted himself into the whole drama, and he started fucking talking shit. And that's basically when I started becoming more involved. That was like, you know, the attacks that were like directed at me personally. So yeah, that wasn't a fun week.
Yeah, it was. It really, again, before we completely leave him alone for the rest of our lives, it really showed what a bottom feeder Ryan David is. Just the fact that, oh, there's more drama. Let me leech on this because of my personal beef, my personal vendetta for no reason against Vic.
Well, he basically got to cozy up against Pundit, which I think was his goal the whole time, because he was already, weeks before that, he was already defending Pundit for stuff that he would have probably attacked us for. But when Pundit does it, it's suddenly fine. So, like, I think he just saw this as his chance to, you know, get somebody, like, you know, with a name for himself, like, you know, to attach himself to there. Like, people were like, not soon afterwards, people were like saying like, oh, hey, you need somebody for inappropriate characters? Oh, about Ryan David? Like, you know, shit like that. So, but yeah, you know, whatever, more power to him. I wish him luck. Hey, good luck with your, good luck with Nurkognito. Good luck with your, you know, all your outrage farming, and yeah, just leave me alone.
I think what annoyed me the whole situation too is, like, you know, when I called Pundit on it a little bit, and it what hurt was like, Pundit was someone that I looked up to, you know, for a long time. Even though my views on the games are starting to drift away from his, I admired his hustle and you know, his ability to put product out there and be a creator and make stuff. Like, he was definitely within this small section of the hobby, a known quantity and someone that you could, you could look to as a guideline, maybe. I don't really necessarily feel that way anymore, obviously, but what bothered me though was, him saying like, I'm not trying to cancel you. And he went on the Nerdcognito podcast and saying he was trying to protect my channel. And it was like, from what? Like, I don't understand. Like, you harassed me for a week. You called me you essentially called me Goebbels, you know, like, you said I was like a Nazi propaganda minister, and you're saying you're not trying to cancel me. It was to protect me. Like, this feels like really weird protection, man. Like, it's super weird. And so, you know, that was definitely kind of like eye rolling. And it was at that point when it was before he called me, the Nazi propaganda minister, is when I blocked him. I was done with it. And when I blocked him, that seemed to like make him completely incensed. Like, he was livid at that point. And it was like, I don't want to hear it anymore. You've been exploding my phone for over a week. The stream goes and it happens, and we have a lovely conversation with Jeffro about games that people found very interesting and insightful. And it was, you know, I run a show about games and how to run games. Like,
yeah,
God forbid that I talk about games on the show where we talk about games. I don't run this culture war outrage thing. I don't do this inappropriate characters thing. I don't do like Pundit, where every video every week is, oh, well, Watsy's doing this and the SJWs are doing this. Like, I don't really care about them anymore. They don't matter.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know. It was so that just annoyed me, this sort of gaslighting, like, well, I'm just trying to protect your channel. I was just trying to protect you. And I was just like, the eye roll block, you know, like, I'm done with you. Like, I there's nothing of value that you can offer me at this point, you know?
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, like you said, protect from who? Nobody from the other side came after us ever. Mm-hmm. They never even paid attention when the actual drama was at its height. Like, he could have just left it alone. It would have just been like yet another natural one stream. People would have forgotten about it 3 days later, and that was it. So,
yeah, and like I said, it was a great stream. We talked about games. Like, yeah. nothing controversial came up in the stream. It was it was amazing, and it was this two front thing where it was like, you know, I don't know what Pundit was afraid of, but whatever he was afraid of didn't happen, and life has gone on. The hobby still exists. Drive-Thru RPG is still there. People can still go buy old school games and books. We're still running old school games. Like, it's still here. It didn't melt down. It didn't implode. It's fine. Everything's fine. So it's Elf Game. It's not that serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Now, just a passerby here, we are protecting you by smothering you with love. This is your snuggle struggle session at the Basic Expert.
That is the Dutch way.
Sounds like... Now, if both passerby and you do it, Vic, would that be a double Dutch?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's funny, though, because it's like, he was... What really bothered me, too, was it was just this SJW-style thing. Like, I was clearly being... having my character and my morals and everything attacked for a week straight, and then to have be gaslit and say, "Oh, that's not what was happening. That's not what we were doing." And it's like, no, yeah, but it was, you called me a Nazi. You said I was a Nazi propaganda minister. You said I was anti-Semitic, which is highly offensive to me because I have Jewish friends, you know? So it's again, block. I'm done with you. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Well, there's also some hypocrisy because somebody found out that one of his players from one of his games has said probably worse stuff about that certain demographic on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Prodigent has addressed that at all. So
yeah, this is a player in his last Sun game who's said some spicy things, just as spicy, if not even more, like you said, more spicy.
Yeah.
And I don't see Pundit, rebuking him. Yeah. I don't see Pundit removing his Jeffro Johnson inappropriate characters interview. You know why? Yeah. Because it's their best performing video. It has 3.7 million views last I checked. So
well, somebody mentioned that to Avenger. Avenger was like, "Oh, what that video gets like what 2 views a month?" And then it was like, "No, it's actually your best performing video." It's like, "Oh,
that's why you want." And because Pundit said, "Well, this was before those tweets came to light." And it's like, "Oh, well, the tweets are to light now. Are you going to take it down? Are you going to practice what you preach? And are you going to take that interview down?"
No.
No. Oh, okay. So I don't know. I lost a lot of respect for the guy. I wish him the best.
No.
Good luck on his, new Witcher RPG thing that he's doing with Poland or whatever. I wish him the best on it. I legitimately hope that he's successful and continues to be successful, because I don't wish ill on anyone. I don't want to do that. I'm going to, I wouldn't want people to wish ill on me. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to be friends with him, but I don't want his life ruined. Because I'm just not that way, but yeah.
I wish them both the best, really. And normally I wouldn't even be talking about this, but the stream was already planned and you asked, and I'm not going to sit here and be like, no comment, because then we wouldn't have a stream. Mm-hmm. But normally this is not really my style, but at the same time, Ryan David did bitch about us like on every chance he got for like a month straight. So I mean, what goes around comes around, I guess, at the end of the day. But I don't know. Like I said, I wish them both the best. I hope they both get really successful in what they're doing. Just leave me out of it. I don't want anything to do with you. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I said, tonight's about putting this to bed. Like, we're burying this tonight. Yeah. And then, or at least I am. I'm not going to tell you guys what to do, but after tonight, I am... No, the words RPG Pundit will not pass my lips, and I'm not going to mention the other guy anymore because we share the same first name and I don't like that. the last thing I wanted to talk about with all that is the tactics that Pundit used. He's not, you guys aren't the first people that he's done this to. And to let everyone know, he basically like came at you guys with bots, with alt accounts, with very obvious sock puppet accounts. He did the same thing to me because I mentioned him directly. And then one of his sock puppets popped up and started accusing me of things, although he thought I was legacy game mastering, which is weird because one, I show my face on camera. Two, Legacy has been on my show before. and three, Legacy also shows himself on camera as well. So
I mean, I don't know if they were bots or alts of Pundit. I'm not, I kind of flip-flop back and forth because I don't want to assume the absolute worst in people. But at the same time, it's like, it is rather peculiar when you beef with him and all of a sudden these like low follower accounts that have nothing to do with TTRPGs all of a sudden are calling you Nazis and stuff like that and attacking you, and they have like no followers, and some of them all they do is retweet Pundit. It's like it definitely doesn't look good. If it's not him, then it's someone close to him
And they all have like this really in-depth knowledge of like what's going on. They have like names based on old Shakespeare plays, like, you know, stuff like that. So I'm not gonna say that the sock puppets, but I don't know. Like you said, it does smell a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I can't deny that the harassment that from like random accounts and you know, random messages and DMs and stuff like that that I get that was just bizarre. So. Yeah. I don't know. It was definitely odd timing. I'll say that. So,
but yeah, and then he claimed like, no, it's not me. It was like, well, okay, but then tell your followers to leave us the hell alone. Yeah. Like, make a statement. It's like, hey guys, don't do this shit. You're making me look bad. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I don't know.
And the other thing that kind of makes me suspicious is the same thing happened to our friend Poncho Goblin. Mm-hmm. A couple months ago when he kind of went at Pundit about something and basically got the same treatment. And Poncho's not like a public figure. I mean, he's been on Vic's stream, but Poncho doesn't go at people. Poncho's not stirring the pot very often. He's another guy that likes to game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. I definitely with all this, I realized that, you know, I'll pray for Pundit. Look, legitimately, I'll pray for him because I believe in that, but and that works. But he definitely has like some ego issues and some social issues that he needs to work through because he can't seem to distinguish friend from foe. And his sense of like how hot shot he is, I think, is a little too high. Mm-hmm. You know, for what he does and what he is. I mean, he's earned something, you know, he does have good selling books, but, I don't know, when he went after Kelsey, for instance, of Shadow Dark, like she didn't know who he was.
Right.
Yeah. And she's like, who are you? I'm sorry. If I offended you, I don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just doesn't look good. And it sucks because there was a point when I really liked him and I really looked, you know, in a lot of ways looked up to him as someone who had been there, done that in this hobby. And, you know, it's crazy when you see the mask off moment with people that you looked up to. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. I like both of them that we've talked about. I considered, you know, the other YN event, and then, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, again, that it's unpleasantness all around. I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm done
well,
with
again,
it.
And, well, again, this is a game of make believe. We do this for fun. Yeah. We're not saving the world here. I'm sorry. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. That's like this SJW like J. Scott Garibay level thing. Of like D&D is going to change the world. Like, I'm sorry, it's not. It's a hobby. We do it as like a pastime, like baseball or soccer or board games or something like that. You know, it's done for fun.
Yeah.
And so like this idea that like you need to call out every little thing and that this, I think it just comes from being neck deep in the culture war for years upon years. You start to like lose touch with reality, I think, a little bit. So
yeah,
which is why I dipped out of that. Like I've only, even from the very beginning of my channel, I've been very selective in picking my battles, you know, like, oh, let's talk about orcs, you know, and the people accusing those of us that have evil orcs as being racist. Okay, I will defend that point. Let's talk about safety tools, or let's talk about the last video I did was like Leyline Press, you know, which for me transcended the culture war thing because they're trying to ruin a freelancer's career. So
yeah.
For me, that was like, it wasn't even really about the cult. That was like secondary to, you know, respect freelancers.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I've been really selective in choosing my battles and, you know, in between that for months in between videos, it's all been about gaming and, you know, that I think that that's where the steady growth has been. Like my channel's grown a lot, you know, 3,500 subscribers on my channel right now, which I never would have thought. Like it's still small fry, but like I never would have thought for being a dummy just talking about make-believe game.
Yeah.
You know, but that's all it is. It can't take it too seriously.
Yeah, which people do for some reason. And like every little thing turns into like 3 weeks of arguing. And it's so very tiring. Tiresome. And like not only have we kind of taken a step back from the whole culture war thing, but we've also taken a step back just from like the OSR in like the OSR. Like we're at the point where we're like, I don't really consider myself OSR anymore. You can keep that label. If you're going to like throw around shit like, oh, you're posers, if you don't do it the way I specifically think you should do it, then you can keep it. I don't want to be associated with that. I never really considered myself all truly OSR to begin with because, you know, I write for 5e. I'm working on my 2d8 system. I want to work on all sorts of stuff. Maybe next year I'll write a Savage Worlds book. Who knows? Maybe the year after that I'll do like a Tristat clone. Who the hell knows? So like, I don't want to be beholden to like this weird, like this cultural and like design philosophy that seems to be around the OSR. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like Cowpunchers isn't OSR. Atomic Punk is, while old school feeling, is very different. So I offer conversion rules for going to, like, from my armor, weapon versus armor attack matrix versus AC. I give a conversion table for that in Atomic Punk, but you know, my interests are kind of all over the place. Like, I like a lot of new games. I like a lot of old games. You know, I don't like this idea that I have to be constrained in my designs to have everything like on a D20 roll and to use BX under the chassis. Like, I don't feel like that is as a creator, as someone who wants to be creative, that doesn't feel very creative to me. It feels confining, actually.
So, yeah. Well, Greg Gillespie. He says the OSR is where it's at. Well, it used to be, but it's certainly taken some hits. And nobody can really agree on what the true philosophy is anyway. And everyone is like, you know, has their one true way. And I just don't want to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to the term. You can call me OSR, but like, from my personal definition of myself at this point, I'm just sort of like, you know, I'm a gamer. I'm a hobbyist because I like new games. I'll play Call of Cthulhu 7th edition. I have that. I'll play Castles and Crusades, which the Schnaults are like, that's not OSR, but I'll also play Advanced Dungeons and Dragons First Edition. I think it's a fantastic game. It's like one of the best versions of D&D there is. And I'll play Classic Traveler from 1977. Is that OSR? It's as old as older than some versions of D&D that are considered OSR, but it's a complete, it's, you know, it's a 2d6 system. So, you know, it's, I don't really care. I think labels are kind of lame and they lead to this sort of like identity crisis thing in a lot of ways.
Identity politics, even.
It's like its own little subculture identity politics thing.
And to Greg's point here, and you know, Greg Gillespie has made a lot of great OSR products
for sure. For sure.
Yeah, you know, and he hasn't, oh sorry, that's not right one. Said OSR works for me and the only people taking hits are WotC.
I don't agree.
I agree, but the problem here, it's not the games that are OSR. We put this label OSR on things and we have people who can't even agree on what the R stands for. Yeah. And there's all of this fighting over, you know, who really is or is not OSR and all this back and forth. And it becomes just this game of low status people jockeying for as much status as they possibly can get their hands on. And I'm not interested in that at all anymore. I still play OSR games. I still like the OSR people for the most part. Mm-hmm. I'm just not interested in that.
Yeah.
That brand of, you know, labeling myself as I'm an OSR guy. I don't care.
I'm just not interested in that little rat race. I'm not interested in the backbiting and all the purity tests that happened. Like you said, if you want to call my old school essentials book OSR, have at it. And I have nothing against anyone else who wants to, like, you know, use the OSR label or whatever. But I just don't really identify myself. I think you're over politicizing. Well, we weren't, but then people came after us. So.
You know, it was being verbally verbally accused of heinous things for a week straight by luminaries in the OSR was sort of you have to understand it. For someone like me, that would be a big turnoff, to be like, is this something I want to be a part of? If this is how they're going to treat me, if this is how they're going to talk to me, for quote unquote going off script and doing what I want, I don't know if I want to be a part of that necessarily, or be identified as a part of that.
Right.
Yeah. But I like old school games. Like I love, I think Greg's made some great stuff, but, I didn't feel like the treatment that I received from these people was very fair.
Yeah. And, by people that claim to be basically like the king of the OSR.
But they're not like Pundit will say, I'm not the king of the OSR, but he'll be sure to tell you what the OSR stands for, that it's this design movement and, or that it's this and that it's that, but he's not King OSR, but also he's going to call me all these things and he's going to go in this totally not a cancel brigade against me, slandering a smaller, much smaller creator than he is. You know, I just didn't think that was very fair to me, and especially the people that know me as a pretty fair, neutral guy. You know, I didn't feel like justice was being done to me at all there. So definitely was a turnoff for me. It was like, do I want to be a part of this? And it's definitely been a thing to think about, you know.
Well, it went a little bit beyond noise, to be fair.
Yeah, it did. And that's like, moving forward, don't pay attention to the noise, but at a certain point it became more than just noise. It became throwing rocks, throwing bombs, that kind of thing. And at that point, I think that's when all three of us had enough.
Yeah.
If it had just been noise, I don't know that we'd even be having this conversation right now, because it wouldn't matter. Moving forward, don't pay attention to the noise. And I definitely agree with that, and I'm definitely willing to go with that moving forward. But it got a little beyond noise at a certain point.
I guess my philosophy is more like, call my games OSR that are actually OSR, and other than that, I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want. And
I'll make OSR stuff. Like I'll always probably be making and playing OSR stuff, but I'm also going to dip my toes into other things too. I'm also going to play other games. I'm going to make I'm going to do things like Cowpunchers, you know, where it's its own unique thing. And, it's not based on any previous system. Because as someone who likes to design things and tinker with systems, that interests me. I don't want to just let's rewrite BX again for the umpteenth time. You know, that does not interest me at all. I can only rewrite BX so many times before I'm just like, this is boring and I want to do something else.
Yeah.
So,
and if us doing something else means that we're posers, that we're foes are, well, then so be it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really care. Yeah. Again, I won't listen to the noise going forward, but
Yeah, and I like, honestly, I'll put it back up here again for everyone to see. But I really, at this point, I think everyone's tired of this battle over and over again, just whatever it is. I think some of us just want a game and grill. That's all there is to it. All we want is just to play the games that we want to play and not have everything be an argument. And that's the way we're going to get out of this, because everyone's tired of this stupid culture war. It's been going on for a decade now, and it needs to be over. We need to move past it, and we need to move into what's going to be entertaining and fun moving forward. So
escapism.
Yeah. Escapism. That's we don't play these games to wallow in the miseries of everyday existence. We play these games to get away from them for a little bit.
Yeah.
Also, as far as like a kind of like a subculture goes, like the OSR is like kind of unique. You don't really hear that's not really anything like comparable for like other systems for the most part. You don't hear about like this big group of like hardcore like Shadowrun people who only play like Shadowrun first and second edition, and they make like, you know, supplement swords and like retro clones or whatever, and they call themselves like the Shadowkin or something. Like, I don't know, like like the OSR is like pretty unique. So I don't know. And I'm just I don't like labels for the most part, so.
Yeah. Like you said, I like your shirt. Like, I just want a grilling game. I'm here to have a good time. Like, again, this is a hobby. I do it for fun. I run games for my friends because it's fun. And on my show, I want to talk to interesting people that have interesting perspectives on how to run the game. And Jeffro was one of those guys that had like interesting ideas that I wanted to talk about. I reached out to him on Twitter, DM'd him like, hey, you want to come on Natural Ones and talk about how to run Advanced Dungeons & Dragons? And he was like, yeah. It's like, let's do it, you know? And it happened. And it's been a really successful stream. And I think it's really interested a lot of people. And, you know, that's just what I want to do. You know, you can dislike the people that I talk to. Like, for instance, the example I gave, and we can move on from this after this if you want to, was like if I had Mark Miller on, you know, Mark Miller, creator of Traveler, he has very left-leaning ideas on things. And he's said some like pretty like things about like white privilege and stuff like that, that you could argue is racist towards people of European descent. But if I had him on Natural Ones, I wouldn't want to talk to him about that stuff. That's boring. I'd want to talk to him about Traveler and his creation of Traveler. And if I was going to call him on something, it'd probably be like on dude, what the heck were you thinking with T5? You know? It would be that. So, you know, that's what it would be about, you know. And if it was someone who was overtly political, I probably wouldn't talk to them in the first place because I don't want to talk about that stuff.
Yeah. So. Well, we would have had Pundit on too. He was more than welcome to come on Natural Ones sometime. I think we actually were planning on it. Mm-hmm. And then we would probably have Grim Jim on. He's like an interesting designer. Like two-thirds of his Twitter tweets I don't agree with, and I have to pretty much like scroll by them.
Yeah.
But like as far as like gaming and stuff goes, he's like good to talk to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like who cares? We're not here for your politics and for your opinions on whatever. We're here for like the games.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Cal, to your point, we're not, but it feels like we are. Yeah, I think Bowling for Soup might have been on to something.
You know, when everything went down, like the intention wasn't to like rock the boat and get people pissed off. It was just, I want to talk about interesting ideas. That was it. You know, that was my intention. And it's always been my intention. So I don't know, you know, if you don't like that, then I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I don't run a culture war channel. It's not what I do.
Right. And again, like it not only was it, you know, talking to someone who's interesting, it also like, to me, it felt like the end of kind of tension between you guys and the BroSR, because you're bringing Jeffro on, and Jeffro is, like I said, at the top of the show, the godfather of the BroSR. The year started, we were all kind of, you know, going back and forth at each other. Now we're talking to each other. This felt like a positive development, and then suddenly it turns into just a shit show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It I don't know. It's like we should be able to talk. I'm a grown ass man. First of all, I should be able to talk to whoever I wanted to.
Exactly. Yeah.
One of the tweets I was proud of that I did in the whole thing with Pundit was I quote retweeted him and said like, "You're not even my real dad." So
yeah,
you know, like I don't know. We should be able to talk to whoever we want about the game, and it shouldn't be a problem. And you know, Jeffro, for all the spicy tweets, has even said like his book, his little pamphlet, you know, How to Win at D&D is written without the kayfabe. So like, if you're interested in his ideas and you can't stand his Twitter personality, he seems to be fully aware of that. You know,
by the way, it's kayfabe.
Don't you dare.
You know, it's there. His ideas are there without that persona over the top of it. And so it's written in a way that's like it's written like any other book or subject or blog post on the hobby, expressing a theory about it. So
yeah,
you know, take the ideas and run with it. Like, if you you don't have to like the guy. You can still take his ideas or the bro. You don't have to like the bros, but you can still take their ideas. I don't think they'll mind.
You can also leave their ideas. Nobody's forcing you.
Yeah.
Nobody's forcing you to adopt Vosar ideas, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with listening.
Oh, you guys are teaming up on me now.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like I want to try and be cool with as many people in the hobby as I can be. And I realized in this last, it was interesting. The lines were redrawn as to like who you can be cool with and who you are capable of being cool with. Mm-hmm. And they were radically different than I would have expected them to be.
Yeah.
But I still believe in that goal of like, I want to, if you are different from me, but you know, you want to talk about the game and we can find common ground on it. Like, I want to talk to you. That's fine. We can even be friends. That's okay. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, you know, where the new lines have been drawn, I am perfectly satisfied with that. Because to me, it seems like the lines are, do you care about the game? Do you care about talking about the game? Or do you care about all of this other extra stuff that has nothing to do with the elf game? So, you know, if that's where we're going to draw the lines, I will firmly plant my flag on the side of I just want to talk about role-playing games.
Yeah. It turns out there were like a bunch of people that were only really there just for all the drama, for all the culture war stuff, to like dunk on the sparkle trolls and stuff like that. And I engaged in some of that myself. I won't lie. You know, of course, because it's fun. But eventually, I got bored with it, and I just wanted to talk about the games that I'm running and that I'm writing and that I'm interested in. And some people just really just, I don't know, they're incapable of leaving that stuff behind, I guess.
Yeah. Mm.
That's like I said at the beginning, that well of content is drying up and they're panicking, I think. So,
yeah.
You know, what is there to talk about if I can't talk about, like, activists in the hobby? I guess I'll become the activists in the hobby and start accusing people of everything and engage in cancel culture brigades against people for talking to people that I don't like.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Man.
Also, I want to point out real quick, Toastubber pointed it out to me. My wire, like, perfectly lines up with that line down there.
Oh, nice. Isn't it funny? I love it. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan, this is a spicy stream.
I could have gotten spicier. I did like 3 weeks ago, but yeah.
You know, I really haven't talked about it. You know, while all this was going on, I was really trying to move past it all. And, you know, I was being attacked online. And, you know, here I was releasing videos about the One Ring second edition. You know, I could have made a video being like, I'm attacked. And, you know, this is what's happening on drama on Twitter. But like, I don't give a shit about that. So like, here's a video on the One Ring second edition on how to make a character or on the basic mechanics of the game. And I'm going to move on. Like, life is normal because it is. And it's Twitter and it's not real.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you did do some tweets, and that's like, you know, that's your right. And then people were acting like your tweets were like the ones that were like stirring the pot. It's
they were
in the middle of like being canceled right now, and you're mad about my tweets responding to it. Come on,
yeah, you're mad at me defending myself.
Yeah,
okay, mm-hmm. you can go away now.
Yeah,
your opinion is worthless. Bye bye.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now, Ryan Heffelfinger, I will say, even though things have gotten a little on the spicy side tonight, you'll be on in 2 weeks, and if you do anything to get my stream nuked, I will come after you.
You guys going to talk about Crapman and slug people? But yeah, like I said earlier, normally I wouldn't do this. Normally I'm not really the one that like airs like dirty laundry, at least in public. I don't really like talking about people. Same. But I mean, at the same time, like, they did it with us for like weeks on end. So, you know, fair's fair. So if they're going to get mad at me, if this rekindles the drama like Greg was worried about privately, I mean, so be it.
I think it's only like you said, Vic, like they've been...
Yeah.
They were for weeks and months. They were making podcasts and videos, and
yeah,
also just tweeting at me specifically for like a whole week. I don't know. I don't know if Jeffro's in the chat still, but I seriously felt like I took more heat for his tweets than he did for his tweets. It was ridiculous. it's like I didn't even say these things. Why are you attacking me? Like this idea that this is, I guess, this is one of the last things I'll say on it. I guess is this idea that that talking to someone means that you must endorse all of their ideas, which is what it seemed like was being implied.
Yeah.
Is ridiculous. Like, I'm sure Jeffro and I would disagree on a number of things as well, but we should be able to come together and talk civilly about it, mostly face to face. And the hobby's better for it if that happens. And just labeling people bad guys from World War II, like some weird horn-rimmed glasses, rainbow-haired pronoun in the bio person, is not helpful to the hobby, and it's definitely not good for our quote side of the hobby, because I don't know, that's just not beneficial to anyone involved.
Yeah,
and like I don't think like for Pundit, like I sort of feel bad because like his image, I do think, and wasn't my intention, but I think his image through all this was a little hurt with all of this here. You know,
I think it already was with the whole Shadow Dog thing, and then this I think. Worsened it.
And you know, I can't help but feel a little bad about that still, even though I was the one attacked, because it was sort of like, and he did it to himself ultimately. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's still like, I don't know, I want to try and be as gracious to people as I possibly can, you know. Trying this year, I tried to make an effort to like, John, don't be an asshole, stop being an asshole. And so I've just taken this as an opportunity to try not be an asshole.
And Jeffro actually makes a good point here. Very few people kind of go at Jeffro directly through the Bro SR, because a lot of the conflict that we had with that Bro SR side, it was mostly with like some of the other people in it. Like getting in arguments with B-Dubs and Gelatinous Rube and folks like that. And yeah, Jeffro's right. They are savages.
Yeah.
But once you realize Twitter's not real, you just go like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not real. But at the same time, like even when I was like arguing with Bro SR guys back in like 2020 or 2021, I don't remember, 2022 last year. It was like, there were other Bro SR guys that were still following me. They were still interacting with me. They were still like, they were buying Cowpunchers and Atomic Punk and complimenting me on it. So that was when I realized, like, wait a minute, I think Pundit is wrong about these guys. They're not a monolith. They're not a cult, as he calls it. It's not this like unified front. It's just a bunch of dudes that like playing with one time and Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, you know, like it's not this crazy monolithic thing, you know? And, so that was when I was after beefing with some of them, but then other ones were still cool with me. Some of them prominent ones, it was sort of like, oh, okay, this isn't like this total unified thing. I think Pundit is wrong about this, and I think a lot of the people criticizing them are too blinded by their worship of Rule Zero to see past this. So,
Daddy Warpick, he's like a really nice guy. I've been mutuals with him for like, I don't know, like almost a decade now.
Yeah, he's super, also super nice, generous guy.
Yeah, there's this Bro SR guy who he played my bank job adventure, that 5e adventure that I did, and he did like a whole play report on it, and it was like awesome. So at the same time, there's some Bro SR people that I've fought with, there's some that have me blocked, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, but again, at the end of the day, even if we're arguing about the game. And yeah, we can have our spirited arguments about the game, and I know that's healthy. It's good to have even disagreements on the game and discuss them, even if we do get a little heated, even if we do get a little spirited. Yeah, this is all part of being in a hobby. Not everyone agrees with each other, and so we're going to disagree. And as long as we're all able to shake hands at the end of the day, or even agree to disagree and leave each other alone, you know, that's the only way that we're going to, you know, have a healthy hobby for, that's going to grow. Because, you know, otherwise people are just going to see knife fights constantly and not want to be involved.
I'm just doing my thing on Twitter, especially. I'm just doing my thing. I'm talking about the games I'm working on. I'm retweeting people that I think are making cool stuff. I make the occasional like shit post and joke, but it's just like, you know, good fun. And that's it. And I've actually had people message me that they like really appreciate it. They appreciated that I even kept my cool. Well, publicly I kept my cool doing all the drama and stuff. So yeah. Like, I think that is the way forward.
Yeah, I mean, I was really surprised when I had people messaging me too, being like, even in the midst of it, like, dude, are you okay? Like, are you?
Yeah.
You've been through the ringer for like a week, getting like laid in too hard by these guys. You know, they're really going at you. Are you good? And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. You know, Twitter's not real. It's annoying, but I would that meant a lot to me though, that people were like, there's cool people out there still within the hobby, even within the OSR. You know, despite being soured on that term a little bit, that are reasonable and rational people and empathetic people.
Absolutely. And speaking of the games that you guys are making, you have some great products out there. I've got stuff from both of you. So just so anyone out there who isn't aware knows where to get some of these things, I will go ahead and share some links and share some screen here. We'll start with John's stuff here at thebasicexpert.com. This is where you can get stuff like Cowpunchers Reloaded, Atomic Punk, 2160, Blue Dungeon Generator, and Geomorphs, Cowpunchers Lone Star, and so much more all down here. And honestly, like, I just got Cowpunchers. I've been wanting to get it for a while. I just got it this week. It's a great
Thank
game.
You.
I'm excited to dig into it more. And, you know, honestly, like I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, if I could get like some kind of old Wes Bronstein together using Cowpunchers, that would be a lot of fun for me.
You know what you'll have to call it, though? You have to call it the Bronsonstein.
That's right. Yep.
Well, the original one was Brownstone, you know, after David Wesley ran his original Bronstein game.
Yeah.
They did do a Western one, and it was Brownstone. And I've always wondered if that led to Boot Hill. That was kind of a progenitor game to Boot Hill, I guess.
But by the way, it's Stein, not Steen. I hate that shit. It's Stein.
Bronstein.
Braunstein.
Braunstein.
Werner von Braunstein.
I'm sorry, I'm from the South.
Yeah. I hate that whole Steen stuff, and people even like spell it as Steen. It's like, no, it's Stein. It's German for stone, and it's Stein.
Yeah, Jeff Rowe makes an interesting point here. Arneson playtested Boot Hill, so there's definitely
probably a connection there.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Curse of Yig, Deadlands is one of my favorite games. I love Deadlands.
Yeah.
I don't know that Savage Worlds would work for a Bronstein type game, but I definitely have a lot of appreciation for Deadlands.
Yeah.
And of course, we need to show everyone where you can get Vic's stuff over here on DriveThruRPG. There's lots of good stuff here. The Modern Adventurer's Guide to Guns and Gear, if you want some guns in your fifth edition. Modern Necessities, which is modern rules and classes for old school essentials. This is a great product right here. Lots of cool details in there. I find that, Vic, you're one of those creators that seems to have access to parts of my brain.
Yeah.
And so you just like put stuff out there that I'm like, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. I see people like that too sometimes. Sometimes I get jealous because they have such a good idea, and I was like, I wish I had thought of that.
That's why the hobby's cool, though. Like, yeah, I see that too. People have told me that about my stuff. Like, oh, it's really cool you did that. And I'm like, I don't know. I see other people do stuff, and I'm like,
yeah,
that's a brilliant idea. So.
Well, guys, that is going to do it for tonight's episode of Rolling Bones. This has been a heavy one. Thank you guys for kind of jumping back into this mud pit. I appreciate you guys agreeing to come on the show and do this. And I'm glad that we can move past this now. Honestly, I'm done with the drama, and I just want a game and grill.
Well, if people are getting, if people see this and they get mad and they want to rekindle the drama, just keep in mind, you started it. You guys did months of podcasts about us. Fair. Mm. So,
I mean, I hate drama. I want nothing to do with it. You know, I really try to avoid drama and just talk about games for as long as I possibly can. But I'm a flawed man. And so there's going to be a point where, like, you break and you're like, all right, I have to swing back now. I have to hit back. Yeah. You know, then that's what happens. So, but I'm done. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Unfortunately, I have pundit blocked. I have all parties that offending parties blocked. Same here. But that's probably for the best. You know, we can go our separate ways. And again, I do truly genuinely wish them the best. I don't wish them any ill will or anything like that. You know, my personal Christian values don't allow for that. But, you know, let's just game and have a good time.
Absolutely. So as we're at the end of the show, I'll give you guys the chance to, you know, plug anything you want to plug. Obviously, you have natural ones that you do together. You both have your own YouTube channels as well. So whoever wants to start, go ahead.
Let's go ahead, Victor.
So Sundays, I do the Dutch Oven, which is just like kind of like a casual nerd hang. We talk about whatever, usually like tabletop games, video games, TV shows, movies, you know, whatever we feel like. I do want to tighten it up a little bit soon, like maybe go like actual after topics and stuff, but we'll see. Then, natural ones on Monday. Occasionally on Tuesdays, I do a stream called One Shots with our good friend Crossface. Just whenever he has time, really. It's more his show than mine, even though it's on my channel. So I basically let him tell me when, you know, we're supposed to do it. Thinking, what else am I on? I'm often on the Friday night chill stream, though I think Max is thinking of changing the name of that. He was doing a poll for like name suggestions. I do that on Fridays oftentimes. And that's about it, really. You can just catch me on random streams here and there. And
for me, I got my website. You already showed it, thebasicexpert.com. Some people have some confusion, like, oh, it's only digital there. No, I do offer print on demand on my website through Lulu. So you can get physical copies of my stuff there. I have my YouTube channel, stream on Monday nights with Natural Ones with Vic here. And usually try and release a video once a week on Wednesdays. This week is going to be on solo gaming. I'm kind of doing two series at once. I'm going through a deep dive on the One Ring Second Edition because I really like that game. It's a newer game. It's not OSR, but or old school, but I like it. So I'm doing a deep dive on how to play and run the One Ring Second Edition. And then I'm also starting a series on how to solo game and what tools there are within editions like Advanced Dungeons & Dragons or products like Scarlet Heroes and how solo gaming is, I think, a legitimate way of interacting with this hobby that we love and enjoying yourself and having a good time. So learning how to play with yourself, I'll say that.
Yeah. I mean, I learned that long ago.
Cal was in the chat, was talking about the Aztec game. So Makuhitl is the game.
Yeah.
I'm working on that. Unfortunately, I did have to change the name from Obsidian and Blood. That is a cooler name. I will admit it. It's easier to say than Makuhitl, but it's already someone else's book trilogy, and I didn't want to mess with that person. So out of respect,
just call it Sacrifice and Blood.
Sacrifice. Nah, I like Muk. I like Muckweedle. It's, you know, it's the iconic weapon.
I like it too, but I can't have, I can never spell it.
Muckweedle.
Well, yeah, saying it is fine, but I can never spell it. Like, somebody's like, what's John's game again? I'm just, like, sitting, like, with my fingers over my keyboard, like, something with an M, like, I don't know.
It's Muckleheedle.
Yeah. It's Muckleheedle.
I can spell it now. You get used to it after a while.
Yeah.
I'm working on that, and I'm probably, I think I've entered all the monsters in. The treasure tables are done, and I got to finish writing the appendices that I want to do, which would be, like, a calendar of the sacred calendar, so you could check off days, some vocabulary and like a glossary of Nahuatl words, Aztec words, and their English translations or meanings, and then I gotta illustrate a lot of stuff with it too. But I'm hoping to do a Kickstarter soon, and I'm looking for a good book printer. So I guess if anyone knows, if you have experience with this kind of stuff, and you're out there and you know of a good quality book printer, like, I want it to be nice. I want Muckweedle to be nice. I want, like, the ribbon in the book. I want, like, a nice embossed cover, you know, like gold or like a shiny foil inlaid cover and all that kind of stuff. I want it to be like, to be blinged out kind of book.
Oh yeah. So
if you know of a printer that is good and that you'd recommend, like, hit me up and let me know. I want to start pricing things out, because I'm going to do a Kickstarter. So
nice.
We'll see how it goes.
I forgot to talk about games, so I'll do that real quick. I also have some irons in the fire when it comes to games. I'm still working on my sci-fi and cyberpunk rules for Old School Essentials. That book is going to be called Cutting Edge. I hopefully plan to Kickstarter that at some point, also together with a Weird West / steampunk supplement at some point. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I'm also working on Rivets and Rockets, which is my, like, 1950s pulpy space opera game using John's Atomic D2D10 system. Really looking forward to getting that done. I'm having lots of fun with that. And I'm also still just poking away at my custom 2D8 system, which is kind of, like, going to be, like, a more cinematic, like, it's kind of like Savage Worlds light almost. It's kind of like meant for, like, stuff like, you know, playing like a John Wick type game, or like the Bourne Identity, or like, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, keep an eye on all that stuff. And then also, if you are interested in, like, random adventures and whatnot, you can subscribe to my subscribe store, the Squine Dutchman. Just look it up.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, that is going to do it for Rolling Bones tonight. Next week, we are firmly moving on into the realm of just talking about games, because we are going to have one of my favorite artists besides present company in independent gaming right now, and that is the wonky Keelan Halverson will be on Rolling Bones. He and I got to talk to each other a lot at North Texas. His art is in a whole bunch of different books. If you've got anything from Planet X, he's got some art in there. If you've got anything from Pace Setter, his art's in there. He really does some great work. So next week we'll be talking to the wonky Keelan Halverson. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you guys will enjoy it. And remember, whether you rolled a 1 or a 20, I'm so glad that you rolled your bones with me, Ryan Howard, and I will see you guys next time.
Dog.